welcome. Now, we're spread out, but hey, we're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. Hey, and it's going to get better and better. We'll get back, hopefully, way beyond where we ever were. So I'm glad to see you guys. I really am. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we certainly want to honor those who have fallen, our heroes who have fallen. If you are a member of a family of a veteran that has gone on to be with the Lord, would you stand up right now? If you're a member of a family whose loved one served in the military, let's give honor to those who have fallen and praise God for them. In just a moment, you may be seated. We'll have a word of prayer. But let me just make a few announcements. Of course, we're just now coming back, and so it's I guess weird is the right word. It is a little bit weird, but hey, that's okay. We can do weird. We'll be okay with weird for right now. But it is so good to see you, and we certainly want to encourage you to enjoy. Many of you have a day off tomorrow, Memorial Day. We appreciate all that have served. We especially appreciate those who have gone on, and we do remember them and honor them and thank God for their service to our country. Of course, we are back. For a while, we'll just be doing Sunday morning only. And I didn't know exactly what to expect. I thought, well, a lot of folks would come back because it's time to come back and they're anxious to, but then a lot of folks will stay back because they're still not sure. And that's okay. And that's been, talking to some other pastors, that's been sort of the feeling of a lot of the different church members. They're looking at it differently. Some are scared to come back. Some are saying, I'm ready to come back. So you've got those extremes. And so we're dealing with that kind of thing now. But we'll deal with it, and we'll do well with it, because God is on, it's not God on our side. We're on His side by His grace and mercy. And so I thank God for that. But we will be doing just a Sunday morning only for a while. I'll still do a recorded midweek. How many of y'all been viewing the midweek Wednesday night? A few of you? Okay. Well, midweek, about 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening, just view Facebook. There's a recorded message there. So keep that in mind. That'll continue. As a matter of fact, for those who were not able to be here today, this particular message will be posted online, on Facebook, rather, in the evening time sometime. I don't know exactly when that may be, sometime in this afternoon or this evening. Maybe Doug could give you a better idea of when that will be. You can just ask him after a while. We are continuing to practice some social distancing. When we exit today, maybe a good idea would be for all of these on this side to exit through that way around through the office door. And those in the middle can exit to either side going out the back. Maybe half of you this way. The ones who don't have a piece of tape on your side, you can go out this way, and the rest of you go out that way, and then all of these could go out that way. So just an idea of how to exit. And again, I don't think a lot of you are really concerned about the spread, but we do need to be careful here as we come back together, just at least to err on the side of caution. There are some Clorox wipes in front of the bathrooms, and you're encouraged to use those when you go in and wipe down any surfaces that you would touch, especially if you're coming into it. You might want to wipe it prior to utilizing the facilities, but they're there for you to use, and some hand sanitizer as well. The masks that I see many of you wearing are really to protect others more than they are yourself, so it's a rather selfless act to wear a mask. I know it's not easy to do that. Some can't hardly do that, but anyway, we appreciate you doing that and just trying to make things a little bit more safe for everybody. And again, when you leave, I know you already know this, the best way to greet people is to wave at them, speak to them, nod at them, without having to make a physical contact. The nursery is available for families. If they're children, if they have children, you can take your kids in there, and if it's already occupied, there are, of course, two rooms in the nursery, and then there's Miss Patsy's room and Cindy's room across from my office, and they have toys in it. All we ask is that if you do take your child out to that, and I don't think we have any kids in here, do we? We do have one. Hey, She's back there. That you just leave the toys on the table so that we can make sure that we clean them. So keep that in mind. Also, there are offering receptacles here and in the foyer and in both places downstairs. I don't think we're even utilizing the youth room right now. We only had a couple in there, so they're in here now. So I think that's closed off. So offering receptacles for you to use. So keep all of that in mind. All right. I want to have a word of prayer. I want to especially remember those fallen heroes' families and be thankful for those who have served our country well as we remember them and celebrate Memorial Day weekend. And then Miss Dot's going to come lead us in a song. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to come back together. Lord, it is so good to see my church family. God, it is strange, but special. And it is sweet that we can come back together and have church. I pray that, God, we'd be able to come back together more and more and that we would do the things we need to do, but that, Lord, we can come back and worship you and serve you together. And, God, that when all of this is lifted, God, that we can just come back together and be stronger than ever and be the church that you prescribe for us to be in your blessed word. We thank you. Bless us now. Thank you for those heroes, God, that served in the United States military. Thank you for those who are still living, but we especially thank you for those who have gone on. That's what Memorial Day is all about. We especially thank you for those who fell in battle or while they were in the service. We thank you for all of them, and we just honor them today, and we praise you for them and thank you for their service as they served our country. Father, we love you. We praise you now. Bless us as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Miss Dot, come on down.
We have folks sitting behind me who've been seated there for social distancing, but they're going to help us as we seek to sing together. We're going to sing, "We Have Come Into His House and Gathered in His Name to Worship Him." Stand together as we sing.
Get this thing off where I can see. Oh, it's good to see all of you this morning. I've missed y'all. I miss seeing everybody and everything. Like Pastor Steve said, maybe this is a start of better days ahead. So let's pray this morning. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we just love you this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, just keeping us safe from the virus, and Father, you just blessed us in so many ways. These days have been different, the way we do things, being very sociable with other people like we're used to, Father, but we know that you have not changed, Lord. You're still the God of all gods, and we just love you and worship you this morning. We just praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Father, for this church family. As we worship today, we just want to give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. Help us, Lord, to be about your business each and every day. In these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Let's sing again one of my favorite hymns, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Stand together. You're sounding good this morning. Offering plate, but we didn't want to pass up a time to hear Lorna play. She's going to play this morning, Rise Again. And after that, Tommy and Vicki are going to be singing for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it is good to be back in God's house, isn't it?
Amen.
I tell you what, this is my favorite place. We're going to do a song that Vicki and I love to sing. It's called God on the Mountain. Hope you enjoy it, and we want to praise God this morning.
You ready? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley and don't lose faith. For you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in. Is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptation, and that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in.
Well, Tommy and Vicki, y'all are a sight for sore eyes and a sound for sore ears. Appreciate you. And Lorna, beautiful, beautiful. You have a beautiful husband. That's what I'm saying. Can we reverse that and just start a beautiful song, Lorna? Absolutely excellent.
You know, he is. Rise again.
That's right. It's appropriate song.
I said,
appropriate song.
I want to come back to church with that song.
That's good. That's wonderful. Good stuff. Amen for that. Miss Dot, thank you for those great songs and for playing Lorna and for everybody singing like you did. And Brother Danny for praying. And just, man, welcome back. Amen. I started, you remember that old television show, Welcome Back, Cotter? I started to pray that today. Welcome back. But maybe we'll do that later, all right? Maybe it'll be an offertory or something. I don't know, or something like that. I'm not sure what it'll be. But it is so good to see y'all back here. And we can worship God together, although it's a little bit different with this thing called social distancing. You know, for a while there, I was talking about the evils of social justice, social justice, social. Now we're to social distancing. So we've gone from social justicing to social distancing. So anyway, well, whatever that means, but we're doing that just to try to be safe. And, we'll be okay doing this, and pretty soon we'll be back together, and we'll go forward like we never have before. That's what I'm looking forward to. But it's so good to see all of you. And knowing that there are some families downstairs as well, we welcome you as well. And we praise God for you. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 24th chapter of the great book of Joshua. And let me say, as you turn there, welcome to Shechem. Now, you don't know what that means, but you will in just a few moments, okay? Let's all stand. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. Our text is actually Joshua 24, verses 16 through 22, and we'll also look at some of 23 and the rest of 24, but our text is 16 through 22 of Joshua 24. I think the words, will the words be on the screen, Doug, this morning, a little later on? But I want to start with just one verse, and that is verse 15, Joshua 24, verse 15. Let's pray together as we get ready to read God's Word. Father, we thank you that we can even stand before you. Thank you that we can stand together now before you. We praise your name that we can come to this place today and celebrate and worship and thank you and look to you. And God, we call upon you right now, God. We pray that you would touch us with your inerrant word, your infallible word, your sufficient, all-sufficient word, your glorious word, your inspired word. God, we thank you for it. We pray that, God, today you would produce salvation for those who need it and sanctification for those who need it. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, Joshua chapter 24, starting off with verse 15, and we'll get to our text in just a few moments. Verse 15 says this, and you know it's a very well-known verse of Scripture, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Say this last part with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today's message is entitled, At This Junction. And you may be seated. At This Junction. In the 23rd chapter of this great book of Joshua, we read about where Joshua warns Israel as he calls a meeting together with the leadership. And he gives them some stern warnings, and they do continue in chapter 24. But he tells them there in chapter 23 not to transgress the covenant that God had established with them. He tells them there not to commit idolatry. Now, Joshua, he gave glory to God at this meeting. He urged them to turn not from God's holy word. You know, he did the same thing, if you'll remember, in Joshua chapter 1 at the very beginning when he was addressing the people of God. He said this to them in essence, don't you turn to the left or to the right from God's word. Just stay there. Look to God's word. Depend on God's word. That is God's voice in your life. And it indeed is now God's voice in our lives. So he urged them once again to not turn from God's word. He told them not to bow to anything other than God Almighty. They would be in pagan lands. God was giving them lands that previously belonged to pagan lands, or to pagan people rather, and these lands were inundated with idols. And so he said, don't worship those. He said, worship God only. He said, cleave to God and love him, just as Jesus said when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He tells them also not to mix in with the pagan people. Now, we know that that is equivalent to what God says in the New Testament when he says to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Doesn't have anything to do with skin color. It has to do with who lives in your heart, whether or not you're saved. So God did not desire for them to mix in with paganism and to mix up with pagan people, to marry them, and so forth. God did so much, and God, and Joshua, by divine inspiration, he reminded these people of God of these great things that God had done for them. God actually made these people, this small group of people, formidable. There were lands all around them that could and did conspire to come against them. And they were so outnumbered so many times, but God was with them and caused a little bunch of people compared to the rest to actually be victorious in battle. He made them formidable. He made them a powerful group of people if indeed they would just stay with him. And then in chapter 24, Joshua calls another meeting. He calls a meeting in a place called Shechem. I just welcome you to Shechem. I'll tell you why in just a few moments. But he called this meeting at this place called Shechem because it was a very special place. Shechem was a place where God had promised Canaan to Abraham. It was also a place where Jacob destroyed the idols of Mesopotamia. So it was a place of promise and therefore hope, because the promised land was a place of hope. And I'm thankful today that we have a place of hope. Amen? It's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing with me. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Beautiful singing. And oh, aren't you thankful that we have a land of promise that God has given us, so that one day we will be able to spend eternity with him in this blessed place. Israel had the promised land. Israel had the land of Canaan. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But praise God, one day we'll go to a land where we'll be with all those who are saved, who are part of Israel, and all those who are part of the church, all those who are the church. We'll all be together one day and we'll celebrate in that land that is fairer than day. Thank God for that place of promise. This land, Shechem, was a place of promise and a place of hope. It was also a place of purifying, thus humility, because idols were gotten rid of there. Idols that were in the way, in between God and his people. And people humbly submitted to God alone there at Shechem. And I would say to you today that the church also needs to do that. You know, we have spiritually, as we've gathered together today, we've come to Shechem. That's why I welcomed you to Shechem just a moment ago. We've spiritually come to that point. And actually, physically speaking, we can even compare this special place, this place of promise and this place of purifying. We can also compare that to Riverside Baptist Church, or at least the Riverside Baptist Church church house, because this is a place that's very special for many of you. It was a place where many of you were saved. It is a place where many of you were baptized. How many of you were baptized at Riverside? Raise your hand. A whole bunch of you baptized at Riverside Baptist Church. It was a place, or is a place, where some of you were married. Who was married here at Riverside Baptist Church? Mary was, Danny was, I know Hilda and Larry were. Yeah, I tell you what, Larry is a blessed man, isn't he? And Hilda's a blessed woman too, amen. Amen. Both of them are blessed. But many of you were married here at this wonderful place called Riverside. It's a place, and we know that the gathering is the real church, but we call this place Riverside. It's a special place to us. It's a place where we've had funerals of loved ones, and the Word of God was preached there, and it was a time when we would talk about how we love that precious loved one who has gone on to be with God, and we preached God's Word, and lives were stirred as a result of that. It was a place that revivals have been held, and people's hearts were stirred as a result of it. So it's a very special place to all of us. Because for 2 2.5, 2.5 months now, for 10 Sundays, 10 weeks, we have been apart. Yeah, we've been on Facebook together, so to speak. And I guess that's better than nothing. But we've been apart for that long. But aren't you thankful today that we're back? Won't you give God a great hand today that we're back together? Even as we are in this different way, we are still back together. Praise God for that. So this is a very special place to us. So it's kind of like our Shechem. But God calls Joshua to call this meeting here at this wonderful place, this second meeting here. He's already met once in chapter 23. And now in chapter 24, he's meeting here at this special place called Shechem. Now, this meeting was a Thus Saith the Lord gathering because it was for the purpose of God speaking through Joshua, or Joshua delivering a message from God to the people of God. That's the kind of gathering it was. And at that gathering together, as Joshua called the leaders together and the people of God together, he reminds them of their past. He reminds them of how merciful and gracious God was and is. He tells them and reminds them of God's blessings. He actually gives them a history lesson there in chapter 24. He speaks of Abraham and Isaac, and he speaks of Jacob. And then he talks about Moses and Aaron, how they led the people of God from Egypt towards the promised land, and how they were there in the wilderness for those years, and how he brought them out, and how he rescued them. And then he brings them to their here and now moment. Because in verses 8 through 13, he tells them some things about what God had done for them. And he says there in verse 13 that now I brought you into a place where you did not labor for. I brought you into a land that you did not work for or labor for. He says, I've given you buildings that you did not build. I've given you vineyards that you did not plant. So God was giving them all of these things. So it was a Thus Saith the Lord moment. God there in that meeting, he exposed and expounded upon idolatry, because idolatry seemed to be the real issue, the real problem of the moment. It was a big issue, and it still is, brothers and sisters, a big issue for the people of God, because God is still the same God as he was with Joshua and the people of Shechem that day. And the people of God are really still the same way, because we still sin and many times chase after other things and allow other things, idols, if you will, come between us and God. So God, through Joshua, he exposed idolatry. He expounded idolatry here because it was what they needed to hear. And then in chapter 24, verse 14, he says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now therefore, because of what I've told you, because of the history lesson I gave you, because of the fact that I went way back in time and told you about what God had done for you and how he had delivered you and how he is your God and how you should forsake all of these idols. Now, therefore, he said, I want you to respond. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road. How will we respond? How did they respond? You know, a second title for this message was what would have been the original title, and that is The Return, A Faithful Response, which was really more specific and specifically targeted this group of people that is sitting here in this spiritual Shechem this morning at Riverside Baptist Church this morning. Because we do need to give a faithful response as we've been blessed to return back together. No, it's not as it was before, but hopefully it'll be better than it ever was. As we've returned here to this place, will we give God today a faithful response? So he brings them to that point. I think it's very relevant for us as we return. And I think it's very appropriate to understand that the main thing today is our response to God. You've heard me say over Facebook, and it's on the sign out there, we don't want to return to the norm. We've come through a storm, but we don't want to return to the norm. We want to go to what we would call a super norm, that which is above and beyond anything we've ever experienced before, spiritually speaking. Yes. And I know we're going to come back together as God's people, and we will be numerically stronger, hopefully so. But may we be more than that, and more than anything, spiritually stronger, as we faithfully respond to God. And so we find all of this here, all the way through chapter 24, verse 14. And then, of course, in chapter 24, verse 15, the verse I read to you to begin with today, we find a very well-known passage of Scripture, very well-known verse of Scripture. It is what I would call a classic confession or affirmation of faith. I call it the 3-2-1 verse. Now, let me tell you why I call it the 3-2-1 verse. Because, first of all, what Joshua did here with the children of Israel was that he gave them, to begin with, a total of three choices. He said, you can serve the gods, the little g gods, the idols that your forefathers served. He referred to those gods as those on the other side of the flood. The gods that your forefathers chased after. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites, which is a general reference to all the gods of the pagan lands. You could serve the gods of the pagans in whose land you now dwell. I've given you this land, but it's inundated with these idols. You can serve those gods. But then Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the third choice. Or you can serve the big G God, the one and only God, the true God. So he gave them a total of three choices. But we can reduce that down to two choices. Two choices. Because all of the pagan gods, the gods on the other side of the flood, and the gods of the Amorites, they're all in one lump. They're idols. They're no gods. So they're just really one category. And the other category is the one true and living God. So we can reduce it down to two choices. And then we know this, that the only legitimate one choice is the Lord God Almighty. And that's the choice that Joshua made. I will, we will, my family will serve the Lord. I call that the 3-2-1 verse because of the total of three choices reduced down to two. But the only legitimate choice, the one choice, is to choose the Lord God Almighty. Now let's get into the text that we have before us today. Chapter 24, verses 16 through 22, very quickly. This is what it says. And the people answered and said, because this is where it's at, folks. This is the people responding. We've talked about that. I've mentioned that. We're here to respond to God today. That's the main thing. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we serve, or also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Say that with me. For He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins, if ye transgress or forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, your witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And let's talk about that for just a few moments. First of all, we see here the recognition of God's work in verses 16 through 18. The people spoke up after Joshua warned them. He said, don't commit idolatry anymore. Don't serve the gods of the land that you're now in. You can choose that if you want to, but we're going to serve the Lord. And they said, we will do it. Okay, so he's there before the people of God, and they speak up, and they basically say some things that Joshua had already alluded to. And they said, yes, we'll serve God. And herein is a passage of Scripture where it's just not God saying, you've done this, so I'm going to judge you. Or if you do this, I'm going to judge you. And that's it. It's not just that. It's also where the people of God speak up and they say, we commit to this. We will follow this. We will do what God says that we should do. We will follow His prescription. And so the people together said, we will serve God. God forbid, they said, God forbid us serving or chasing after other gods. We know that He delivered us from Egypt. We know that He did signs and wonders and miracles in the wilderness. We know that God fought for us. And they said, He is our God. So they recognized God's work. The second thing we see here in these verses of Scripture is the revelation of God's wrath. Because Joshua spoke back up. He wanted to make sure that they knew what they were saying. Joshua held their feet to the fire. He first of all said, wait a minute, you cannot serve God. He's a jealous God. You cannot if you forsake Him. Now, if you're not really going to do what you say you're going to do, God is going to pour out His wrath on you. If you forsake Him and do not serve Him, if you commit idolatry, sounds like what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and Luke 16. When Jesus said this, He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and other things, regardless of what they are or who they are. You cannot serve God as your God and an idol as well, or idols as well, because they don't mix. He said, either you will hate one and love the other. You'll either hate the things of this world and love God, or hate God and love the things of the world. You can't have it both ways. God didn't say we could not enjoy things in this life. He just said we could not worship them. Because worshiping other things, especially in the life of God's people, brings forth God's wrath. So Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. That's exactly what Joshua was speaking up and saying there. Joshua said this. He said, God will hurt you and God will consume you. Understand what you're committing to. So we read here the recognition of God's work as well as the revelation of God's wrath. And then finally, we see the responsibility of God's people's witness. That word specifically is there in the text. They were witnesses against themselves. As Joshua he spoke up and said, wait a minute now, you've got to make sure that you understand this. You cannot forsake God. And they said, nay, nay. Sound like a bunch of horses, didn't they? Nay, we will not serve any other God. We will serve the Lord, they said. And Joshua said, ye are witnesses against yourself. And they said, we know it. We are witnesses against ourselves. What we're saying here, we're hearing. Because it was as if Joshua was saying, now, are you hearing what you're saying? They took it seriously. It was serious business for them. They were witnesses against themselves. So what we read here in these verses is the recognition of God's work and the revelation of God's wrath and the responsibility of God's people's witness as they witnessed against themselves. And then in chapter 24, verses 23 through 28, Joshua actually repeats some things. I mean, he's really driving it home. And the people, they also repeat some things. They're sticking with him. They're hanging with it. And then there's a recording. Joshua says, put away the gods from your lives and incline your heart to God. And they said, we will. We'll serve the Lord. We'll obey His voice. And then in verse 25, we read about how a covenant was established and how a statute was developed and how a stone was erected there at Shechem as a witness against them to say they have made this commandment. And then finally, in the last verses of Joshua 24 and verses 29 through 33, we find that Joshua was 110 years old and he died. And other leaders, they died as well. But for the time that Joshua was living, these people stood up as Joshua said, you've got to serve God. You've got to quit committing idolatry. And they said, yes, 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 we will. We're all in for God. and they greatly served the Lord for that time period. But it was limited. Because we read later on in Judges chapter 17 and 21, these words, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That's Judges 17, 6. Judges 21, 25 says the same thing. "In those days, no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes." So in just a generation, they'd gone back. As a people group, they had gone back to committing idolatry. They went once again the way of the flesh. Not these people, but the children, those who came after the children of those who came after these people. They didn't follow in the commitment that their parents had made. They followed the way of the flesh. Paul makes it clear in Galatians 5 as he speaks to the church of Galatia that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary the one to the other. And if you serve the things of the flesh or go the way of the flesh, it keeps you from doing what God would have you to do. It keeps you from obeying the word of God. It keeps you from yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your lives. And that's exactly what they did just one generation later. So as we gather at this junction today, may we know what they knew there in Joshua chapters 23 and 24. May we know that God is good. May we know that God is holy. And may we know that we are responsible. That's really the message in a nutshell. But let me show it to you with a simple graph today. First of all, you have the goodness of God. God is good. Amen. There's an arrow drawn down to the word right. That represents us when we are in right relationship and fellowship with God. We experience the goodness of God. Amen. Anybody attest to that this morning? Oh, yes, we experience the great goodness of God. And what we do as we experience the goodness of God, we're looking at the holiness of God. There's an arrow up to the word holiness. Because we know that God is holy, that He is set apart, that He is awesome. And we are in awe as we are right with Him, enjoying the goodness of God in right fellowship and relationship with God. We are looking at the holiness of God and we are adoring it. We are admiring it. We are in awe of the holiness of God. But sometimes we give chase to other things. There's an arrow under the word right, and it goes way out, representing rebellion. I think it's different on your page, isn't it? Yeah, I'll go over here then. It represents rebellion. It's different on the back wall back there. And that's the way we are sometimes. As those who are right with God, who have said, yes, we'll serve the Lord, and who are serving Him because of something that allures us, some idol, we tend to go away from God, even as God's people, and we catch ourselves in the middle of rebellion, and there we are. And then we are on what I would call the wrong side of God's holiness. Let me explain that to you. I've got it drawn for you there. We're on the other side of God's holiness. At one time, when we were enjoying the goodness of God in right relationship with God, we were in awe of God's holiness. But when we rebel against God and we walk the other way, then we see the wrath of God's holiness. We see the fact that God is holy and cannot tolerate sin. And we feel the heavy hand of discipline upon our lives as God's people when we rebel against Him. So I would say to you today, please let us not ever be. And if we are there, help us to get back to where we should be. But help us never to be, oh Lord, on the wrong side of Your holiness. That's where rebellious people are. That's where the lost world is. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. You see, as I said before, the next generation after Joshua, And the people that served with Joshua after they died off, and the children of those people who made such a tremendous commitment to God and lived up to it. The next generation, though, were ignorant and unprepared, and they were lost. So we see here that it's not only important to say, yes, God, we commit to you. Finally, yes, Lord, we're tired of chasing after other gods. We want to get on the right side of your holiness. Yes, Lord, we commit our lives totally to you. It's not just that we should do that. It is also that we should teach our children and those who come behind us the very same thing and challenge them to do the very same thing. It is for us to prepare others who follow us, so that they won't fall into the idolatry that ever plagues us, that's always out there before us as a dangling carrot. And so we see, as we read in the book of Judges right away, how people began in this next generation to walk away from God and do what was right in their own eyes. You see, that's always wrong, to do what's right in our own eyes. It's only right when we do what's right in God's eyes, as God would prescribe. So I would say to you today, after hearing all of this and looking at these two chapters of the Old Testament, where are you? Here's a question. Which side of God's holiness are you on? Will you give a faithful response to God today? Because if you're on the wrong side of God's holiness, even now you can come right back to the right side of God's holiness. You can come back to Him. And if you're unsaved today, you can come to Christ for the first time and confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life, believing that He died on the old rugged cross for you, believing that He made that ultimate sacrifice for you. He became sin for you and for me. And He died there and rose from the grave, and He lives and He saves those who call upon His name. But regardless of where you are today, may you give God a faithful response now. As we've gathered today at our Shechem, our spiritual Shechem here at our church, I would urge you to give that faithful response and to make that commitment as the people of God did in Joshua's day. And think about what went on there. As these people came together and heard the message from Joshua that came from God, and there was a recognition, not just from Joshua, but from the people of God, a recognition of God's work and a revelation of God's wrath. They understood what would happen to them, and they still said, "We will commit." They witnessed against themselves there at Shechem. May we today do the very same thing. You know, I told you that I would be preaching messages to you via Facebook about turning to God and trusting in God. Well, that's exactly what we need to do. Turn to Him and continuously trust in Him. Turn to Him in repentance, in humility, trust in Him, and enjoy the hope that He gives us. Furthermore, as we seek to make a little more application here, specifically in regard to what we've experienced, we've looked at some lessons today from God's Word, and spiritually we've heard about how we should respond to God in faith and come back to God and get on the right side of His holiness, and all that we've talked about today. We've looked at this text. We've looked at the larger text. We've understood the meetings that Joshua had with the leaders and with the people of God, especially there at Shechem, and how they said, "We will serve God," and may we do the same thing. Yes. May we come to that today. May lost people be saved. May the church come back to Him like never before. May that happen today. But as we think about our own situation here, we just need some biblical perspective about how we are to proceed as the Church of the Living God, as a particular local assembly. So let's talk about that for just a few moments in closing. First of all, we are here today and every day of our lives to respond to the Master. Now, I've said this before, at least one time via Facebook. We are responding to the Master because He is our Lord. Amen? Amen. And we are to obey Him. That's the number one priority. We're obligated to Him above all. Secondly, we are to respond to the many, that is the people of God, each other. Because we love each other and we seek to protect one another, we want to love our neighbors and show them that because God's word says for us to do so. So we respond to the many. We respond to the congregation by doing what we're doing today, by trying to social distance and wear a mask and use sanitizer and all the things that we're doing and still come together. And we're also seeking to faithfully, biblically respond to the magistrates, to the government, the law that's set forth, and honor the law as Romans 13 tells us to do so. But if and when there is a violation of God's word, then we are always to make sure that we obey His word over even the laws of our land. We are obligated to Him above all. As Peter said in Acts, we are to obey God rather than man. But we are obligated still to, as much as we possibly can, respond to the magistrates and the law with honor because God's word tells us to. But here's the sum of it all. It's the master above all. You see, if we respond to the master, then we will correctly respond to the many, to each other. We will correctly respond to the magistrates or the government. We will do that in response to all of this crisis that we've been inundated with in the last 2.5 months. We are to, more than anything else, we are to respond to the master because he will never steer us wrong, because he is right. So as the church, we're at a spiritual junction. And we're at a junction whereby we must say we will obey God regardless, even regardless of what man says. We will serve, as Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. So may we as a church, in trying to respond to God above all things in the midst of all this crisis, and as we move forward and try to continue to have church and do it right and try to comply, but still obey God's word, may we just make sure that we're doing what God's word tells us to do. May we operate and function with a biblical perspective. Now today, as we end, we're not going to have an invitation as we usually do. There won't be any piano play, and I will just say this to you. If you need Jesus in your life, God's spoken to you today. You may be upstairs, you may be downstairs, but God's spoken to you today, and you know that you need Jesus in your life to save your soul. Then I want you to know that you can talk to me after church. I want you to know that you can call me on the phone. I want you to know that you've got this whole next week just to call me and talk to me. Maybe God's done something in your life. Maybe he said something to you. Maybe you're just so ready to be revived. You're just there. You just want to share that. I want to hear it. These ears want to hear how God has worked in your life. So I would say to you, you can contact me. I'm here for you. And we'll end on that note today as we consider God's word and take it from here with us in our hearts. At this junction, we know that we have to move forward in the way that God would have us to. So may we do that. Just as Josh said, we will serve the Lord. Brother Larry, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer? And then afterwards, I may go to the back just to stand out to say hey to folks who want to leave. That's fine. But I won't do any handshaking or anything, just kind of be there. But as Larry dismisses us, then this side can go out this way, and then this side can do this, and this side can go out that way the best you can. And that's just to be precautious. But Brother Larry, if you'll dismiss us in a word of prayer, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. We love you. Would you stand with me, Brother Larry?
Dear Lord, what a wonderful Sunday morning this has been. Lord, we know that this virus has taken its toll on the world. But Lord, we know we serve a God that is in control of this virus. Lord, we serve a God that is in control of all things. Lord, allow us to look to you. And dear Lord, we not allow us to have fear in our hearts. For Lord, we know we serve a God that is above all things. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us as we go through these days. Dear Lord, that our mind and our heart would be on you and you alone. Lord, we allow us to have the hope that in the end, dear Lord, we know we're winners. We know that we'll come out of this with greater success in serving you. Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over us through this upcoming week and help us to be the friends, neighbors, that we should be to each other. Lord, forgive us wherein we failed you, for we ask it in thy loving and holy name.